يا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. One of the realities for this ummah, since soon after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been the challenge of differences and conflicts within. This is one of the trials for this ummah and for us as believers. And it is actually a fact that such differences will arise from time to time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي ثَلَاثًا فَأَعْطَانِي ثِنْتَيْنِ. I asked my Lord for three matters. He granted me two of them. وَمَنَعَنِي وَاحِدًا. But he withheld one of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on, سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي أَلَّا يُهْلِكَ أُمَّتِي بِالسَّنَةِ فَأَعْطَانِيهَا. I asked my Lord for my nation not to be destroyed by famine, and he granted it for me. وَسَأَلْتُهُ أَلَّا يُهْلِكَ أُمَّتِي بِالْغَرَقِ فَأَعْطَانِيهَا. I asked my Lord for my nation not to be destroyed by drowning, and he granted it for me. وَسَأَلْتُهُ أَلَّا يَجْعَلَ بَأْسَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ فَمَنَعَنِيهَا. I asked my Lord for there to be no bloodshed in my nation, but he withheld it from me. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows his wisdom best. But one thing to note, my brothers and sisters, is that the first two, famine and drowning, are directly in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the risk, sustenance, and weather, the rain, it's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody else has any say in that. Drowning also has to do with water. And that is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the third, the bloodshed, the conflicts, that has to do with our own conduct. That has to do with our own discipline. So we know that these differences will arise from time to time. The question is, what is our response going to be? Will we take joy in the chaos that ensues and watch it like a show, enjoy it, and spread it, share it with others? Or are we going to be one step better and walk away from the fitna? Or are we going to take the best course of action? And this is important, because this is a malady, this is a challenge that affects us globally as believers, affects us nationally in places, like at high levels, and it is something which can affect us locally as well, even within small communities. So it's a widespread problem, it's a widespread issue that covers the range from the smallest to the greatest. So what is our response going to be like? Are we going to take the best course of action? And what is the best course of action? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers are nothing else than brothers. So make reconciliation. فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Make reconciliation. Make peace, make correction between your brothers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that was in Surah Al-Hujurat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first ayah of Surah Al-Anfal, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So have taqwa, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and adjust all matters of differences amongst you, and obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are believers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked his companions, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِأَفْضَلِ مِنْ دَرَجَةِ الصِّيَامِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّدَقَةِ قَالُوا بَلَا, said that, shall I not tell you something that is better than the status of fasting, yani voluntary fasting, and prayer, and charity? So they said, yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on and he said, صلاح ذات البين. صلاح ذات البين فإن فساد ذات البين هي الحالقة. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that action which is better than the voluntary fasting, prayer and charity is that of reconciling, promoting reconciliation, facilitating reconciliation. In the case of discord, for the evil of discord is the shaver. Prophet ﷺ called it al-halika, shaver. And it was narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said that it is the shaver, and I do not say that it shaves hair, but that it shaves, meaning destroys, religious commitment. It destroys, it shaves religious commitment. So the Prophet ﷺ told us of great virtue associated with reconciliation. These types of conflicts and differences, my brothers and sisters, that create grudges, they lead to unacceptable feelings and conduct. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said very clearly, لَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Do not harbor grudges against one another, nor jealousy, nor enmity, and do not show your backs to one another. Do not turn away from one another, and become as fellow brothers and slaves of Allah. We all understand the seriousness of shedding blood, of murder. Most of us, and I hope all of us, would never think, or none of us would ever think of doing such a thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man hajara akhahu sanatan fahuwa kasafki dami, that the person who forsakes his brother for a year, it is as if he has shed his blood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, it is not permissible for a believer to forsake his brother, meaning his Muslim brother, for more than 3 days. And of course it applies equally to sisters as well. So, Muslims between one another. It is not permissible for a believer to forsake his brother for more than 3 days. If 3 days have passed, he should meet him and greet him. And if the other responds to it, they will both share in the reward. So if someone reaches out after something has happened, 3 days have passed, and he reaches out, says, Assalamu alaikum, reaches out. The person responds positively, then they both share in the reward. But if the other does not respond, he will bear his sin, and the one who has taken the initiative to reach out, to greet the other, will be absolved of the sin of forsaking one's brother in faith. So this is great motivation for us, that yes, things happen sometimes, but once, you know, 3 days have passed and we've had time to calm down and to reflect, then that's the time to reach out, no longer than that. And if a person in the situation reaches out to you, respond positively, otherwise you will be the one carrying the burden of that sin. Even more serious than that, it can also affect the forgiveness of our sins as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that the gates of Jannah are opened on Monday and Thursday. تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ يَوْمَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ وَيَوْمَ الْخَمِيسِ. The gates of Jannah are opened on Mondays and Thursdays. فَيُغْفَرُ لِكُلِّ عَبْدٍ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا رَجُلًا كَانَتْ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ أَخِيهِ شَحْنَاءً. And everyone who does not associate anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiven when the gates of Jannah are opened. Except a man who had an argument with his brother. And it is said, they'll wait for these two until they reconcile. Wait for these two until they reconcile. Wait for these two until they reconcile. So the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is being shared, that is being spread upon everyone else who does not do shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who does not associate in associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that forgiveness is withheld from people in this situation who have a grudge against another believer. In addition, my brothers and sisters, amongst the harms of such conflicts is that they lead to the weakening of the jama'ah and the ummah. What does it lead to? It leads to the weakening of the community of the jama'ah and of the ummah as a whole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Do not dispute with one another, or you would be discouraged and weakened. What's going to happen? If you dispute with one another, you would be discouraged and weakened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hasbiru, preserve, inna Allaha ma'a sabirin." Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who preserve, those who are patient. So such disagreements that create grudges, they lead to the weakening of the jama'ah, weakening of the community of the ummah, especially at a time when we are facing so many different types of challenges. So many different types of challenges that we are facing, right? As a community, as an ummah, right? We cannot afford to be in a situation where we continue to weaken ourselves due to our own disagreements and grudges amongst ourselves. Now, in order to reconcile, and before we do anything, we need to know the facts. Because there can be a lot of hearsay, a lot of rumors, a lot of misunderstandings that perpetuate, you know, that go from one person to the another, and they grow as they are passed along. Right? Every person understands some one thing and said something else. Right? So each time a person receives information and passes it on to another, there's always something that changes. Right? That's when you play that game, what is it called, telephone? Right? When you go from one person to the other, you tell them one secret and you see what comes out on the other side. Sometimes it's mind-boggling, right? That's how it works. Unfortunately, that's what happens. So there can be a lot of hearsay and rumors. So first of all, remember the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if you get news, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, verify it, أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Verify it, so you do not harm people unknowingly, becoming regretful for what you have done. Because if you don't know the full picture, you don't know the full story, and then you take action against someone thinking that you are doing something good, and then you find out what the real story was, what actually happened, but your action has already been done, then you regret it afterwards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a golden principle not to fall into that situation of regret. فَتَبَيَّنُوا, right? Verify first, understand exactly what happened, right? Then do what needs to be done, but first verify and assure yourself that you have the right information, you have the correct information. Then base your decisions on that. So know what actually happened before jumping to conclusions. And once we know the facts, or we have investigated by seeking reliable sources, then we try to build common ground and remove these differences. Now to be clear, it's fine to have differences of opinion, as long as they do not get to the heart. People will have different opinions, that's not a problem. I remember when I first came to Ottawa back in 2014, I happened to be at a meeting. I haven't really shared this, but alhamdulillah, it's in a good spirit. So I was in a meeting, and mostly it's like leaders in the community, you know, I think it was like presidents and imams and so on. So anyway, I happened to be in a meeting. And I think it was like for something, I think it was for I-Lead or something. Anyways, so mashallah, everyone's in the room and you know, it's all good. And there's a very spirited discussion. And there's a very spirited discussion, like people are very passionate and they're speaking out loud and all of those things. And then the brothers come up to me and they say, oh, you know, because this is the first time I was there, so they felt a little embarrassed. So they said, oh, you know, we're sorry that, you know, it got a little heated and so that. And I said, no, this is actually good. This is good because the brothers feel safe enough to share their opinions. And then after that, it was all good. You know, they had, whatever, they said salam and they're laughing and they're talking and they're eating together. And alhamdulillah. You know, so it's good that they're able to voice what they feel. They don't keep it in their hearts, but they let it out, and no one is getting offended. They know that they just have a different perspective, and they're hearing each other, and they're passionate about what they believe in and what they think is right. That's fine. There's no problem. It's actually a good thing. Because the problem would be is if they hold it in their hearts, they don't let it out, they don't feel safe enough to share it, and then that creates resentment, that creates frustration and anger, and then other types of negative feelings in the heart. So I would much rather, I'm actually happy that, alhamdulillah, the leaders feel safe enough with each other and respect each other so much that they're able to say all of this very passionately, but still they know that it doesn't get to their hearts and they still love and respect one another. Like, that's actually the way it should be. Right? So the issue is not that we can't have differences of opinion. We can have differences of opinion, but you don't want that to get to the heart. You don't want it to create grudges and to create, you know, foster enmity and hatred. Now, this effort to reconcile is so noble that it is permitted to embellish the truth a bit. It is permitted to embellish the truth a bit in a positive way in order to achieve this great purpose. Right? So, for example, it is permissible to tell each party that the other has said good things about them and praise them so as to encourage reconciliation. This does not come under the heading of lies which are prohibited, which are haram. The Prophet ﷺ said, ليس الكذاب الذي يصلح بين الناس فينمي خيرا أو يقول خيرا. That the one, he is not a liar who seeks to reconcile between people and says good things. But as I said before once, be a little bit careful when you do this, because if they become such good friends and then they discuss, oh, what did you say about me, and they're in a good mood, and then they find out that you embellished a little bit and they actually wasn't, you know, it wasn't that positive, then you're going to be in trouble. Okay? So use it sparingly, use it very carefully, you know, to promote reconciliation, to promote good feelings. Say, yes, I think that is what he meant. I think that is what she was trying to say. I think she feels this way. So you do it in a way that's not very direct so that, you know, it doesn't become a liability. But the point is, it's okay to inflict the goodness a little bit if it's going to help bring people together. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he wrote to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, you know, as an instruction, that رُدُّ الْخُصُومَ حَتَّى يَصْطَلِحُ. Return litigants until they settle. Meaning if they come to court, return them until they settle out of court. فَإِنَّ فَصْلَ الْقَضَاءِ يُحْدِثُ بَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّغَائِمِ. That because the separation and the rift that is caused by being in court will leave behind grudges. So you try to avoid that as much as possible. You know, even if it's a matter you have to go to court, try to avoid going to court and try to settle outside of court. It's usually a good idea anyways, because not all lawyers, but in many cases, they will want the conflict to proceed so that, you know, it's more lucrative, right? I'm not saying everyone does this, but there are those who will try to promote differences and promote rifts so that it does go to court and the case gets prolonged and both sides end up paying more money to the lawyers. There are some good lawyers who will not do that, some ethical lawyers, but there are others who will do something like this. Right? So it can be very harmful. So always try to settle outside of court, not to take things to that point, because not only will it be a financial loss, most probably, but it will also create this these grudges, which Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is talking about. So my brothers and sisters, the question is, you know, how can we try to make things better? How can we try to overcome these struggles and these challenges in our own personal lives? And also when it appears in the community, in the jama'ah, in the ummah. So that we are not the ones who are promoting chaos and disagreement, but rather we are the ones who are facilitating reconciliation. Right? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a source of reconciliation and togetherness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep our hearts united in goodness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to protect our communities, and our jama'ah and our congregations and the entire ummah from all types of chaos and conflict and grudges. Ameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, as you know, alhamdulillah, our campaign is ongoing. We are aiming to raise $250,000, inshallah, for our masjid project by the end of the year, which is December 31st, you know, just a few days left. So please, everyone who has not had an opportunity, do contribute. We're looking for in total, 250 brothers and sisters to donate $1,000 each, inshallah. After your tax credit, it is approximately $640, which is actually $1.75 a day through the year. So if you can do that, inshallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please do contribute on your way out or online on our website, canadamuslims.ca. You see, there are many other causes, of course, that are very important, right, throughout the world, even locally as well. But the core of all of those consolidates in the masjid and in the jama'ah. If the masjid community is strong, if the jama'ah is strong, if people are connected with the masajid, that is the place where we can start the concern and can start to help and continue to help the other causes that are in need. Right? But if the community is scattered and if the community is not strong, then it becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult to collect, bring people together to support the other causes that are important. And this is why all of the major charities, the relief charities, the shelters, the food banks, everybody's interested to come to the masjid to fundraise. Why? Because this is the place where the jama'ah congregates. This is the place where the Muslims gather. Right? So the masajid and healthy, strong communities are at the core of all the work that needs to be done, whether it is charity work, whether it is relief work, whether it is advocacy, education, you know, da'wah. All of those things are going to come from the masjid. So that is why the masjid is essential to everything that we need to do as a community, as an ummah. So please, we appreciate all of your continued support. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you always. Jazakum Allahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in all that is good. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant barakah in all of your affairs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and your future generations till the day of judgment. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. We'll take a little break, inshallah, and we'll continue.